Now, I'm hoping that everybody here has got an open mind, because I'm not the best person in the world to talk to about cannabis. I've got a member of my family who smokes it, and I'm a member of a family who eats it. Now, I can understand how the previous speaker was very upset about her son. When I was 17, my Uncle Frank got married. He was my mother and father's best man at their wedding, and he went on to have three children, three boys, one after another. And when I got into about my 30s, these boys were all grown up. And suddenly one day, my Uncle Frank and Aunt Isabel came to the house in tears. Their 16 and a half year old son had been and got them up in the middle of the night and told them God was speaking to him, and he had to take them downstairs in the lounge and read the Bible to him. He kept his parents up all night, and they were really terrified. Now, I had gone into nursing, so my immediate answer was, take him to a doctor. Now, the result of all of this was interesting from our point of view as a family, because we were all very close. And my Aunt Isabel and Uncle Frank took Michael along to see a doctor, who then sent him along to see a psychiatrist. And he was told quite openly and honestly that all illnesses that abound, like asthma, schizophrenia, diabetes, you know, the things that come upon us unexpectedly, there's a sort of a pattern to each of them. And they said the pattern to young men developing schizophrenia will always happen between the age of 16 and 19. And that's the difficult period. Some people will say it's stress at school that causes it. Others will say it's the stress of the thought of going to university that causes it. And other people will say it's medicine that can cause it. Or in the case of the person in question, they were trying to suggest that it was possibly cannabis that caused it. But let me give you a surprise here. I'm about to be convicted on the 11th of March. I did plead in the first three times I went to court not guilty. But the last time I went to court, under the influence and pressure from my son and some very close friends, I decided to plead guilty of possession, but not with intent to supply. And the judge looked at me, and being the little old lady, you know, with the white hair, standing there with my little blouse on and my cardigan, he said to me, "You can't say that," the judge. The barrister had said, "Do you plead guilty or not guilty?" And I said, "I plead guilty of having possession of cannabis, but not guilty of intent to supply." I said, "I can't help it if it's the whole sentence is the charge. A whole sentence isn't appropriate to me." So he then said, "Well, we'll put you down as guilty this time," which changes the type of court case you had. He said, what do you do with cannabis?" I said, "I eat it." He said, "Why do you eat it?" I said, "Because I'm terrified of NHS medication. I kid you not." And this can be a problem for many young people today, and even many older people. And I had been studying medication for 3 years. Every time I got in a taxi, I'd say to the taxi driver, "Do you take medication? Can I have a slip outside the inside of your box?" Neighbours, friends, relatives, I did the same thing. And one of the medications I got off a taxi driver in Hexham, the medication was called diazepam. So I read down the list on the inside of the box, the little leaflet, and the list said there were 37 side effects to diazepam. And it's a very common medication given to many people. But number 28 can cause depression. Side effect number 17 causes suicidal tendencies. Number 30 on the same list causes sleeplessness. Number 35, it will make you suffer from delusions. Number 36, it will make you suffer from hallucinations. And number 37 is it will make you suffer from fits. So if people try to tell you that you'll get a psychotic illness or a mental illness or, sadly, schizophrenia, which luckily for me now at my age, I know that Michael had to go into hospital for 3 years. But when he came out, they had stabilized his medication, which he had to have stabilized every 6 months. But he became happily married, had 2 children. They're quite normal. They don't suffer from the same illness as their dad. And he's held down a job, and he's still not retired. So there is a way of surviving with everything. But I think, as far as the government are concerned, when they try to frighten everyone about what cannabis can do to them, I say, okay then, why have diazepam on the list of medications that doctors can give out? Because I know for sure those pharmaceutical companies wouldn't have them down as side effects from that illness unless they'd had experience of it in their trials. And if they had experience of it and they're telling you, you'll get an inability to sleep, you'll suffer from depression, you'll have suicidal tendencies. Oh, and also, number 12, you'll change your desire for sex. Now, that does that mean instead of a fella fancying a woman, he'll suddenly start fancying fellas? Or the other way around, the woman will suddenly start fancying another woman. But that's what it says on here. Changes in your desire for sex, or who you have sex with. Now, if all those come from one medication called diazepam, would you want to take diazepam?
No, thank you.
Now, I was on diclofenac. It was the first medication, and it's the first one on this list. And I'll be pleased to give it to that lady there so she can have a go at her doctor, because sometimes you don't know what you're being given, but it's always in your records, or it's always in your husband's records at the doctor's or your children's records. But there are hundreds of medications that can cause these illnesses, and I really don't believe that the government should blanket out cannabis. I'll tell you what cannabis is good at curing. And I found this out because when I was 35, I found my 14-year-old son dead in bed, and I didn't know why he was dead. I couldn't believe it. The next morning I went to wake him up, and he was dead, and I had a bacon sandwich in my hand. I don't remember much about the next 2 or 3 weeks. In fact, I don't remember much about the next 9 months. The shock that set into me just turned me into a sort of zombie for 9 months, until suddenly one day, after setting the table for him every day for 9 months and putting his meals out for him and then clearing the table and washing the dishes and not saying anything to anyone. I don't know why I set the table. I don't know why I put his meals out for him. But he'd never been ill. I'd spoken to him the night before. I had a restaurant. I'd spoken to him the night before and said, "Good night, darling." And he said, "Good night, Mum." Then the next morning, he was dead. And I went into what they call a catatonic state, where I could hear what people were saying. And I thought I was answering them, but I was really answering myself, telling myself all the answers. And it wasn't until 9 months after he died that I woke up one day and I thought, "Oh dear, Colin really is dead." I didn't know about it. That's when the worst problem that most people get, depression, set in. And I got really bad depression. That 9 months of being in a sort of semi-catatonic state really took me down to the depths of being full of despair. And I never thought I'd really want to live again once I suddenly realised that my son was dead, because I then started the grieving process 9 months after he died. So many people, even here, and many people in the government would have said, "Oh, she's a head case." But it wasn't. It was the shock of life. It was something that happened one day, unexpectedly. But only last February, I discovered that cannabis can cure depression. I eat it. I portion it very, very finely. I portion it finely because, good grief, it's only 16 years since I was 50. So I've got quite a long time to go. I don't talk about 4 years away from 70. I talk being 16 years away from 50. It doesn't sound so bad. But So I could have 30 or 40 years ahead of me. I know if I stop eating with cannabis, I will go back into the depression. But now that I'm out of it, and you know how long it takes? 24 hours. Now, I can't smoke it. I get offered cigarettes all the time from friends and relatives and friends I've made in the LCA. But I really don't like the burning taste in my throat. And I have a vocal problem anyhow. I have thickening of the vocal cords. So it isn't advisable for me to smoke it. But what I do is I grind mine up in an electric grinder till it's a fine, fine powder. And when you leave the lid on for 10 minutes, because if you don't, all the best stuff will fly away. And if you open it up, oh, I could get drunk on the smell. So my favorite snack when I've just done some fresh cannabis is to get a teaspoon, put it inside the container with the fresh cannabis, and then I take a knife, thick wire, and I scrape along the teaspoon so there's only a level teaspoon. Now that level teaspoon is four portions for me. I divide it with a knife into four squares. And I take a paper tissue, you know, regular paper handkerchief, but a clean one. And I take a quarter of it away, cut a piece away, fold it and fold it and fold it, and it's a very soft, feathery way of getting my quarter of a teaspoon into a cup. Right? I put it in a cup with some carnation milk. You can use any kind of milk you like, but I happen to like carnation. And I soak that quarter teaspoon in the carnation milk, whisk it all up and put it in the fridge, and it's there for 24 hours. Because I have hot chocolate every night before I go to bed. Quite boring, actually. I go to bed between half past 8 and 9 o'clock at night, but I like a good night's sleep. Then when the evening comes, I'll get 2 teaspoons of chocolate powder, any kind you like, mix it in with the carnation, and then boiling water. Now, I do this in cafes all the time. I go into cafes, and like a friend of mine, I only drink hot water. But what they were surprised at this week is that when I go in a cafe and ask for a thing of hot water, I've got a bag with a small metal flask of carnation and a small box of chocolate powder. Now, the chocolate powder is mixed with cannabis. It's 2 teaspoons of chocolate powder and my quarter of cannabis. Now, that's easily done. You just do 8, right? To get a level teaspoon of cannabis, you drop that in. Then you get 8 teaspoons of chocolate powder, and you've got 4 good portions ready for your hot chocolate drink. Then I do it, and I do it until my container's quite big, isn't it? About this high. I just filled it up again yesterday. So I've got a permanent, and it's well-mixed, collection of chocolate powder and cannabis. And that's 1 meal a day for me. That's my supper, my cup of cannabis. Now, when you eat it, it takes an hour to go into your stomach and be digested into your bloodstream. Then it starts going around your body. Now it'll go, I'm glad I've got a long skirt on. It will go down your leg through your bloodstream. And what it feels like is, it feels as if there's a sort of very light, airy, miniature continental quilt going over your arthritic knee. And suddenly your knee doesn't hurt as much. Suddenly it's not clicking as much. Suddenly it's not as hot. And then it goes around your body and it does the same to the other knee. Then it goes up to my ear here, where I have the tinnitus. And I have 2 loud ringing noises coming out of my ear. And it just seems to, again, this sort of little baby continental quilt comes over my ear. And it masks the sound from my tinnitus. Then it goes around my neck and it masks the pain. I've been in 2 car accidents, once when I was 35 and once 7 years ago. When I was 21. And it masks the pain, it covers it, because if anyone here, and someone is sure to have been in an accident and had a whiplash neck, because the pain it causes you is in your whiplash neck and in the lower part of your spine. Well, to have had 2 accidents within 20 years, it's really quite bad. But again, the chocolate drink, within an hour of taking it, starts to flow around your body and it masks the pain in your neck and it masks the pain in your back. Now, for me, that's why I take it. I have my single portion, quarter of a level teaspoon of powdered cannabis, into a little knob of butter. I'll put that in a bowl, whisk up a couple of eggs, a little bit of milk, put it in the microwave, a minute and a half later, I've got the most beautiful cannabis scrambled eggs you've ever tasted. But the idea of eating it is that I will get 5 hours cover. You see, when you people smoke it, you don't get value for your money. That's how I feel. I'm very careful, aren't I? I'm very careful with my money. But you don't get value for money, because all that happens is you get some relaxation and a bit of a high. The time I did try it, within 3 minutes, I was sitting back in the armchair like this, saying, anybody fancy singing the rainbow song? You know, coming from an old person, that's not funny, really. But you only get a high for about half an hour with a cigarette, and then you mellow and you relax. But within an hour and a half, the major effects of your cannabis cigarette have gone. But when you eat it in either a cup of hot chocolate, scrambled eggs with some toast, or whether you put it in a sausage hot pot, one portion. If you have 5 portions a day, which is like a 1 level teaspoon and a quarter of another level teaspoon, every time you eat it, it takes an hour to get into your system, and then it covers you for pain for 5 hours. Now, I have 13 health problems. Nothing as serious or as debilitating as multiple sclerosis. Nothing as terribly painful as cancer. But all my health problems, the arthritis, which has come into my knees and my spine and my neck through the car accidents, plus the tinnitus, plus everything else I got from diclofenac, they're all irritating, upsetting, depressing, because you seem to have nothing but aches and pains all over your body, and you think, I can't cope with this. I go to the doctor with one thing, and within 3 months, I'm going for 2 things. Instead of being on 1 tablet 4 times a day, I'm on 2 tablets 4 times a day. Then a year later, I suddenly find I'm on 5 tablets 4 times a day. And if you notice, when you see other people going to surgeries, they go into surgeries once they get to my age, once a week, and they come out with great big paper bags with boxes and boxes and boxes of medication. I nursed an elderly lady last year. She took 27 tablets a day. She was 81. And this is what happens. You go to the doctor with one problem and you come away with anything. Well, I've got 15 altogether. But some of them are small, some of them are large. But I don't have the depression. Because the nice thing about eating cannabis 5 times a day is that you're covered for 24 hours a day. And I found, after last February, when I was found very ill at home by a couple of friends, they gave me a cigarette in the morning. That's when I wanted to put my hands back, and that's when I wanted to sing the rainbow song. She said, eventually you fell asleep, and we learned the worst thing about you we ever learned. We learned that you snored like a trooper going, you know, snored like a train going through a tunnel. But she said, so we left you to sleep, and I slept until about 2:30 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Then they came back at 7, and they brought me another cigarette. And they stayed with me, saw me to bed, watched me smoke it, and she said, halfway down the cigarette, you said, oh, you know, I'm sorry, but I can't smoke anymore. She said, you lay back, because I have a medical bed, because if you have whiplash neck problems and you lie in a flat bed, you cannot get yourself out of bed in the morning, because the first thing you lift when you wake up is your neck, and when the whiplash neck is bad, it is horrendous. So I had this medical bed. I wish I'd never bought it now. It cost me over £1,000, because I don't need it anymore. Normally, if I'd come here last year at this time, I would have come on with a walking stick, and I would have had great difficulty getting up that step because of my knees. I would have been wearing a medical collar, and I would have had a hearing aid in. I don't need the hearing aid anymore. I don't need the medical collar, and I certainly don't need the walking stick. But I am very, very careful. And if I was to say to you, if you could only afford one packet, which might last me a fortnight in my food, but might only last you a week in smoking, mine is the best way to stay out of pain and the best way to stay cheerful, because you'd never get a high when you eat it. you just get slowly, it slowly releases around your body, 5 full hours of cover for pains and discomfort. And I really feel that there are at least 16 to 18,000 million pensioners in this country, and they're all suffering. And the reason they're suffering is because of the very poor medication in this country. Now, I've got listed in the back all the medications, the name of the manufacturer, the name of the license holder, and the name of the people who distribute it. These are all the medications from chemist shops. A simple one, paracetamol, can give you an allergic reaction, which means a skin rash, either on your head in general, on your face, inside your arms here, between your fingers. So you can get any kind of allergic reaction from paracetamol. It will give you pain in different parts of your body. It will cause swelling to the face, the hands, and the neck. It will cause you to have fevers, which are unexplainable fevers. It will cause you to collapse, and you feel dizzy, you'll pass out and you'll collapse. Bronchospasms. People with asthma know what this is like. Rashes, changes in blood, bruising and bleeding gums. And that's a very common medication. Then there are the other medications which come from the NHS and from doctor's surgeries. One of them is called, I've already told you about diclofenac and I've already told you about diazepam. What about lisinopril? Lisinopril has got 72 side effects. That means 72 faults. Now, if Marks and Spencer's were to make a cake, and I brought my medicinal cake here today, but if Marks and Spencer's had made it, and they said there were 72 faults in this cake, they wouldn't be allowed to sell it, would they? Would they? If this gentleman in the front decided to build a car, and he said, I've built this beautiful car, silver with gold edging, there is 72 problems attached to it, but you know, look after it when it happens. Worry about it when it happens. But he wouldn't be allowed to sell the car, would he? But the government buy medication from pharmaceutical companies, and in the case of lisinopril, they've got 72 side effects. And 72 side effects means 72 faults. Two of them, right next to each other, number 61 and 62. Because remember something, you'll have heard it on the news. One out of every four human beings suffers from depression. Now, you'll have heard that. I've heard it, I've read it, I've seen it in the newspapers. One in four adults suffer from depression. So, lisinopril. Number 61, depression. Number 62, impotence. Boy, am I glad I'm not a fella. Because at least I can't become impotent. But it does affect men in that way. Now, I know for years I never looked at the leaflets inside medication. I thought, well, like the taxi driver when I said to him, when I discovered impotence was one of the side effects, I said, did you never look at your medication list? He said, well, no, he said, you trust your doctor, don't you? But come on. Doctor's surgeries are in business these days to make money. If you go to the doctors with one health problem and he can get you to take such and such a tablet at such and such a cost, £6.30, the people who are working pay. Well, that's good. It's adding to the profit as it's business, because GP surgeries are businesses now. They're not like they used to be when I was a child. They're businesses. So you go with one health problem, he knows there's 62 side effects or 72 side effects to your medication, and he'll be hoping to see you in about a month's time because you have something else. And then a month after that, you'll have another illness, and you'll be taking 3 boxes of tablets away instead of 1 box. They're making money out of us, but they're making us ill. I am ill. The only reason I can stand and talk to you today, with the depression gone and the pain gone, and the knees, I'm able to walk on them. But if I stopped taking cannabis in my food, I will be ill again. And if I can't get cannabis at all, I will be ill forever till the day I die. And I've told the judge, and I've told Tony Blair, I will not give up using cannabis in my food. And from my point of view, I think I get the best out of cannabis. You know, I think you people that enjoy a cigarette, well, enjoy a cigarette, but I get a better deal. I get all my aches and pains out of the way, and I don't have to go to the doctors for medication. I know it works wonderfully well with cancer patients who are having chemotherapy. It stops their sickness. It makes them feel more normal. I know one of my friends, I have three friends who are MS sufferers, one's 47. And after I went down to the hemp fair last year, I made a mistake. I was eating cannabis in my food 7 days a week. And when I went to the hemp fair, I was having a great time. They were all fabulous. I was going just, we stayed, we were only going for the day on Saturday, but we liked everybody so much and we loved the fair so much, we stayed overnight. But we live in Northumberland, so I had to leave Friday morning, didn't get there till Friday night, no cannabis in my food. I was there on this Saturday, no cannabis in my food. Sunday morning I started with a toothache. By lunchtime, I was in so much pain I couldn't bear it. And when I looked in the mirror, I only had six teeth in the front anyhow. I looked in the mirror, all these gums were inflamed and they were full of pus and everything. And I felt sick just looking at them. So my son took me away, took me up north, went to the doctor, the dentist the next day, and it's a lady in Corbridge. And she said, you must have had toothache for about 3 or 4 months. Yeah, I said, I've never had toothache in years. She said, but the state of your gum and the state of your teeth is such you're going to have to lose them. And this is the proof, and I hate it. And that is why when anyone wants to use it for pain, I say to them, only use it in your food 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. And then see how long you can go. Now, I have a friend, as I say, she's only 47. She's had MS for 6 years. And she was so pleased with herself about a month after I showed her how to cook with it. She invited me around and one Sunday, and when I went to the door, she cuddled me and she said, oh, Pat, and she started to cry. I thought I'd done something wrong. I said, what is it? She said, yesterday my sister took me to Marks and Spencer's in Newcastle. She said, for the first time ever, I went in, first time in 6 years, they went into a restaurant. And she said, I went into Marks and Spencer's restaurant and I had a starter. I had a lunch and I had a pudding. And nobody stared at me. I said, why? Well, were you expecting them? She said, well, prior to using cannabis in my food, she said, I used to shake all the time, you know? And she was all twitched and you know how badly these people suffer. And she said, I was just like anyone else. I could feed myself, I could put it in my mouth, and I really have never known such happiness because it was the first time in 6 years, she said, and it's opened my life for me. Now, it opened my life for me, but it lost me my teeth. So, if you know anyone who's suffering, if you know anyone with arthritis, if you know anyone having chemotherapy treatment, help them. Just help them by, let them try it in a cup of chocolate. And if it eases the pain they're in the ensuing 5 hours, it's worth a try. I know my son enjoys a cannabis cigarette when he comes home, and he'll always offer me some, but I really don't like it. I smoke Black Super Kings, isn't it? I smoke Black Super Kings. I like a tipped cigarette. But I do advocate that when I go to court on the 11th of March, and I'm sentenced, if the judge says to me, and you know, you can bet your bottom dollar when you're talking to a Geordie, that they will tell you exactly how they feel. And when that judge stands up in the Crown Court in Newcastle and says to me, well, Mrs. Tabram, we've looked at your case and we would be prepared to give you a community service sentence if you will promise that you will never use cannabis again. I say, well, I'm sorry, sir, but you're going to have to change my punishment because I don't intend to ever give up eating with cannabis. Because I'm too terrified of NHS medication. And then I'll give them the long list of all the medications. And some of them are nearly 100. There's nearly 100 side effects or faults. Like the guy who tries to sell a car with 73 faults. And the person who tries to sell a cake with 72 faults or 45 faults. They wouldn't be allowed to sell it. Yet the pharmaceutical companies can do it. There's one law for them and one for us. They're rich and they want to get richer. We haven't got the sense to stand up for our rights when we really should. And this is crucial. Some of you look more my age, so you won't be looking forward to getting married and having babies because I'm past all that. But I do have a son of 25, and I don't want him to get lisinopril. I don't want him to be made impotent and not know what it's like to have a loving relationship with a woman and have children. I don't want any of my grandchildren to be one of the victims of the one in four medications which causes depression. I know what depression's like. You want to kill yourself. But there are medicines in here, and you can feel free to come round when the meeting's finished and look through the lists. 3 out of every 5 medications causes depression. Do you think the pharmaceutical companies should be kept going with our money? The people who are working, £6.30 a time per medication, I'm sorry. And if that means the judge puts me in prison, he puts me in prison. I really don't give a monkey's, because I'm not going to risk my life using NHS medication. And I think many of you may not have thought of eating it before. And you don't have to have a fancy cookery book. Actually, I've got a cookery book coming out soon. Eating with cannabis. But you don't. If you like sausage casserole, which is very popular in Joryland, all you do is put the cannabis. If it's a meal for four, and the four of you know you're going to have lunch together, and you know you're having a medicated lunch, you put a 1 level teaspoon into a little knob of butter, mix it all together, put your casserole in the oven for an hour and a half, whatever. But 15 minutes before you're due to serve it, pull the casserole out the oven, mix the butter with the medicine in, and that 15 minutes back in the oven is just enough time to bring the medicinal effects of the cannabis into the casserole. And I can promise you, well, put it this way. If you try it over a 24-hour period and it doesn't lift the depression, give me a ring. My telephone number's on there and my email number. And I'll come down and cook your meals for 24 hours. And I can guarantee you won't feel any more pain.